Chapter 7. Bondage, Bondage, Bondage. A quote before we begin from Anne Rice. Everyone is a potential naked slave to you once you become a trainer. How to tie someone up. Of course, if you're anything like most interested in BDSM, bondage is the fun part of this book. You want to know how to do it, and how to make it effective, even beautiful, and just how it will affect your slave and their obedience. Tying someone up is more than just getting out the bundle of rope and starting to make knots, though. It's an intricate balance of trust between the dominant and the submissive. The dominant needs to trust that the submissive will tell them if something is hurting too badly, while the submissive needs to trust that they are not going to be hurt while they are unable to move. Here are some basic kinds of bondage. Tying the slave's body down to another object. Suspending the slave's body from another object. Pulling parts of a slave's body together with rope, tape, straps, etc. Spreading parts of the slave's body apart, spreader bars, etc. Wrapping the whole body of a slave or part of it in bindings. And restricting normal movement with very high heels, hobble skirts, corsets, etc. But in some dominance and submission relationships, there is no bondage or there is very light bondage used in the scenes. The preference depends on the master as well as their slave. For many, tying up is a great way to relinquish control in a visual way as well as in a physical sense. When you can't move, you're pretty much going to agree with whatever the dominant wants you to do. What is another attraction of bondage is the idea of giving up control over the way that a slave reacts. When they are unable to move out of the way of sexual stimulation, they cannot help but react to the pleasure. This is a very serious upside for some submissives that are less confident about their sexuality. Bondage allows them to explore their sexuality, what they like, and what their body likes, without feeling like they are the ones asking for the pleasure directly. There are several things that you will want to keep in mind when you are planning on tying someone up. Know what you're doing. Practice, practice, practice. Have safety scissors readily available. Start with simple ties and then progress to more advanced rope work. And never tie across the neck or windpipe. But assuming that you're going to be safe, you need to learn the basics of tying someone up. Here comes the fun part. Basic knots and ties. Of course, a lot of bondage is learned on the spot when you are actually tying someone up. Most of us can fashion a reasonable knot without much trouble, but when you want someone to stay tied up, you need to know a little bit more about how to knot rope. You can also choose some of the various bondage packages that are available now in sex shops and online bondage stores. These come with Velcro cuffs and chains that can be easily secured around a submissive in order to control their movement. For the beginners, this is an easy way to break into bondage without having to learn anything more complicated than entering your credit card number into a website. There are also numerous handcuffs, manacles, and other lovely bondage devices on the internet as well, all with their own aesthetic advantages as well as their own restriction uses. But for others, nothing compares to the feel of rope on the skin. It moves, it adjusts to the body, and it can be used in a variety of ways. You can choose from a number of different kinds of rope: hemp, cotton, artificial, etc. But the choice of rope depends on the comfort level of the submissive as well as the wishes of the dominant. You can find rope at your local hardware store or throughout a number of specialty shops. To begin, you will want to buy a long piece of rope, probably about 50 feet, cutting off a smaller piece of this length for practicing knots and ties. Some basic knots. The first knot that you probably already know but you may not know the name of is the square knot. What this does is ties two ropes to each other or the ends of a rope together. This knot lies flat and will not put too much tension on the skin when tied onto a submissive. To create this knot, take a piece of rope by the two ends, one in each hand. Take either the left or the right end and loop it under the opposing side so that it comes through. Pull to tighten. Then repeat the knot to finish the process. And the second knot that you will want to learn is a slippery knot, or one that will work well to bind the hands or the ankles, but won't restrict circulation. To create this knot, take one end of the rope or cord and use the other end to place half of a square knot around it. This creates a knot that can move up and down the length of a rope. Simply add another square knot on top of this knot in order to get a strong tie that can move. You can find many knot tying resources at your local library or in community classes as well. Tying someone to a bedpost. If you want to secure your submissive to a bedpost or other stationary object, you will want to learn about knotting tightly so that the rope cannot be loosened. This takes some patience to learn, but is really quite simple. What you'll want to do is realize that more knots are better. However, with thicker rope, this can become tricky to do. In order to secure a thicker rope to a bedpost or other attachment point, you will want to wrap the rope around several times, tying knots at several different points in order to be completely secure. Basic ties to learn about are the basic wrist and ankle ties, hog ties, which are more advanced and strenuous for the slave, and thigh to calf ties. Tie a loop around the upper thigh above the knee, and then another around the area below the knee in a figure eight pattern. Keeps the legs spread apart. If rope just seems like too much. When in doubt, you can always use duct tape or medical tape as an effective way to restrain someone. Or there are sex supply venues that sell bondage tape that is not adhesive to the skin or to the hair on the skin, only to itself. It can also be reused over and over. Predicament bondage. Bondage can be used for more than just restraining movement, but also for restraining thought and comfort. Predicament bondage is the practice of creating a no-win situation for the one that is bound up. While the person is bound up, they are bound in such a way that when they try to make themselves more comfortable, it ends up causing just as much discomfort or pain as they were in before. These bondage positions will generally allow for around two different positions for the submissive, but both will be painful and hard to endure. They aren't harmful necessarily, but they can feel like they are. Here are some examples. The slave is bound to the ceiling in such a way that they need to stand on their tiptoes to relieve the pressure in their wrists. But when they do this, it creates a pull on a rope that is secured to their genitals, causing discomfort. A slave might be attached to another slave, causing the other to become uncomfortable if the first slave does not hold a certain position. A slave with longer hair might have their hair tied to their feet in a hog-tied position, for example. If they lower their head, their hair will be pulled, but if they keep their head back, their neck will be uncomfortable. And a slave might be tied into an upright kneeling position on a bed with their genitals secured to some attachment point. If they don't remain upright, clamps on their nipples might begin to pull in the opposite direction, but kneeling upright is also uncomfortable. The creativity of a dominant can be very useful in coming up with these kinds of predicament bondage situations. They can cause a submissive to be very focused on their tasks at hand and yet frustrated that they cannot be comfortable doing them. It provides a great show for the dominant. Movement restriction. But many submissives, as well as dominants, prefer to have no movement at all when they are doing bondage activities. This creates the complete loss of control by the submissive through rope tying, handcuffs, or tape. To do this, a dominant will want to consider what position they want their slave in, because once they're there, they're not moving. For many scenes, tying someone down to a bed on their back becomes the most obvious choice. It allows the genitals to still be available for the dominant's use, but also gives them most possibilities in terms of ways to restrain the submissive. Here is a basic set of instructions for accomplishing this. First of all, you will want to restrain any movement of the hands so that they cannot bother you while you are tying the rest of the body down. The arms should be spread out at 45-degree angles and far from the head so that they are flat against the bed. Knots should be tied around the bedpost first to be sure that they are secure. The wrists can then be bound to these ropes or into the cuffs or tape that you have selected. Be sure that the submissive can barely move their hands when you have done this. Test your successful tying by trying to tickle them. If they can't move to cover themselves, then you've done a perfect job. Next, you need to restrain the lower part of the body. You can do this by implementing the same process as you did with the upper body. In this position, the slave should not be able to move very much, but there are ways to make it feel even more constrictive to them. You can start by tying a rope around their waist, knotting it, and then taking the longer ends and tying those together around the underside of the bed. For female slaves, you can also bind their breasts with the rope to the bed too. For added movement restriction, you can tie the thighs to the bed as you did the ankles as well. This overall tie is perfect if you want to completely restrain your slave and still have access to their genitals. If you aren't trying to add a sexual element, but just the element of restriction, you will want to bind the ankles to each other and the wrists to each other, then bind those to the opposing bedposts or solid attachment points. Bind rope or tape around several times to give the feeling of no possible movement. For bonus points, weave the rope in between the wrists and the ankles as well as around. From there, you can also bind the thighs to each other as well as the elbows. Or you could bind the arms and legs to the torso for the complete restrictive feel. What do you do next? But once you have someone all tied up and wriggling around, what can you do then? Oh, the possibilities for a devious dominant. The easy answer is that you can do anything. There are a number of things that you should consider when your slave is all tied up and lying there. They're completely focused on you. They cannot get away from you. They might be uncomfortable, and they have no idea what is going to happen next. Needless to say, this places the dominant into a higher station of power than ever. What you might want to do is take this time to give out any punishment that might be warranted from past actions. Of course, this will have to be given without causing the bondage to be too painful, but spanking or flogging are much easier to give to a submissive when they can't wriggle out of the way. You might also want to paddle or flog some of the more sensitive areas of the body because of their compromised position. Another thing to do is to bring the submissive to a heightened state of arousal via sexual toys, masturbation, or other means. For example, placing a vibrator on a woman's sensitive clitoris and then allowing it to sit there while she writhes from orgasm after orgasm, assuming that you allow her to come, is quite a spectacle for the master or mistress. Likewise, a male slave that is bound might also be subjected to various means of genital torture or perhaps some anal play. You can also engage in verbal humiliation or abuse, as they are bound and willing to say whatever you want them to say. You might want to degrade them and call them names, having them repeat what you have said. What you do not want to do is leave them alone for a long period of time. While this sounds like a great bondage fantasy, it can be quite dangerous if the ropes move or something dangerous happens in the home and the submissive cannot free themselves to protect their health. Leaving the room for a few moments is okay, so long as you have a clear idea of where the slave is and how they are doing. Gags. Silence is golden. Duct tape is silver. To further control your slave and cause them to feel restricted, you can also employ the use of gags. Gags are a way to eliminate the chatter that comes from a slave, while also filling one of their holes with something that makes them uncomfortable. And there are a number of ways to do this. Here is just a sampling of the gags that are available for you to buy and to use. Ball gags, traditional scarves, dental gags, spider gags, ring gags, inflatable gags, leather gags, bits, and tapes and wraps. What you need to do is select a gag that is slightly uncomfortable for the submissive, but not something that will harm them. For example, a ball gag can come in a variety of sizes, and the slave's mouth size should be considered when choosing the right gag. Gags have multiple effects on slaves when used in bondage settings, for example. Gags are effective silencers, which cause the submissive to be unable to speak to their master, and this has several effects. One is that the slave needs to be reliant on their dominant to protect them and make sure they are safe. Two is that the gag creates garbled speaking for the submissive, which can be humiliating for some, especially when the dominant feigns that they cannot understand what they are saying. Gags are also great humiliation tools, as they can cause the submissive to drool uncontrollably. With the foreign object in the mouth naturally begins to salivate more. They can also come in forms that will keep the mouth completely open for oral sex that the slave cannot stop. If a dominant is looking for a gag treatment that will completely silence their slave, they will want to choose an inflatable gag, as this fills the mouth with the gag and keeps any noise from being able to be made. A cheaper version of this kind of gag is a clean sponge in the mouth, big enough to keep the jaw slightly apart, and then cover the mouth with tape. Because the mouth is unable to move with these treatments, only faint hissing will be heard. But when it comes to gags, safety is everything. Since you're interfering with someone's ability to breathe, a master or mistress needs to be watching the slave for signs of distress. Breathing rapidly or starting to change color are both immediate signs that the gag needs to be removed. Sounds of gagging or choking also need to be taken seriously. When done properly, however, they are an amazing way to make a slave feel completely controlled. Blindfolds. A slave that doesn't know what's happening around them is a slave that will be more than willing to obey their master. A blindfold cuts off one of our most taken-for-granted senses, sight. When a submissive is tied up, gagged, and then they are given a blindfold, not only can they not move, but they are also disoriented and unable to determine what is happening around them. This is control. There are a number of things that you can use for blindfolds and sight disruptors. A basic necktie, pre-made blindfolds from sex shops and suppliers, or tape, assuming that it won't stick to the delicate eyelids or eyebrows. You might even cover the submissive's eyes with a blanket or cover while you have them tied up or in a submissive position to try out the feeling for them. Most slaves find that the placement of a blindfold starts to make them quiet inside, which allows them to completely focus on the wishes of their master. And taking away the ability for them to see what's happening next is a great way to create suspense and anxiety for the submissive as well. Many of those interested in BDSM will begin with blindfolds as a way to foray into heavier bondage applications and restriction of senses. Hoods. Along the same lines as the blindfold is the hood. These can be found through many sex shops and can be made of artificial materials or leather. These hoods will cover the entire head, providing only holes or zippers for the nose, eyes, and mouth. This total enclosure is a bit extreme for some slaves at first, but the complete feeling of control is generally appreciated by those that like sensory deprivation. It's quiet in a hood, and outside sounds are muffled, further detaching the submissive from the world around them. They need to be led places by their master and require more focus in order to find out what is going on around them. As an added benefit for some slaves and masters, the hood begins to create the idea that the slave is an object rather than a person. The hood takes away any recognition of the slave and makes them just a faceless toy for the master to use in any way they choose. There are a number of hoods that are available. Here is a sampling of designs. Leather hoods. Hoods with locking collars. Hoods that are metal and enclose the head completely. Or masks that enclose the head and do not let any light in. When you're looking for a serious way to create control over a slave, the hood is a good tool to have in your dungeon. They're effective, and they create wonderful sensory deprivation. Sensory deprivation. Speaking of sensory deprivation, how exactly can you create the best deprivation for your slave? The object of this kind of play is to remove any and all sense from the slave's consciousness. Here is a basic setup of how you can accomplish this with bondage and other accessories. To remove sight, place on a blindfold. To remove movement, bind the slave in a restrictive position. To remove touch, bind the hands and fingers with tape so that they cannot move at all, same with the toes. There are also hand mittens that sex stores carry that will cushion the fingers in foam so they can't move. To remove smell, use a rubber ball gag. The scent remains long after the first use. To remove sound, place earplugs in the submissive's ears to block out any sounds. To remove speech, use a gag. Now, while this sounds a little over the top, it really creates a different space for the submissive as they have no idea of their environment and what is happening around them. They can enter subspace all the more easily and will be at the whims of their master or mistress without any way to resist. Of course, the master or mistress will need to pay close attention for any signs of distress, but most submissives will calm down completely in this state, lulled into their own little world. Plastic wrap. You don't need to dress up in leather, create the perfect dungeon, or have the finest rope in order to practice bondage. You might already have the best bondage accessories in your home right now. Plastic wrap is a simple and cheap way to start adding some restriction to your dominance and submission fun. With its natural texture and ability to be shaped in a variety of ways, it creates a new way to bind your submissive and create a great scene. What you'll want to do is head to your local hardware supply store in order to find the larger rolls of plastic wrap that might be used in a larger project. Of course, you can use the smaller rolls that come from your local grocery store as well. Find a place to set up the plastic wrap in your chosen area that you are playing in, and make sure that it is secure and unable to move from that place. This will allow you to pull with ease and not be paranoid that the box will fall and cause a plastic wrap mess. Your slave will need to hold in the position that you want them in, or you can pre-tie them with rope in order to add another layer of bondage as well. You can wrap the plastic wrap around ankles, wrists, breasts, genitals, etc. In fact, you can place this wrap nearly anywhere except for on the nose or in the mouth. Many people like to try wrapping their slave completely in plastic wrap after already binding them up, gagging them, and blindfolding them. The feeling of total enclosure causes the submissive to be completely subdued and wrapped in their feelings of subspace. Plastic wrap also works well with other forms of play as it keeps the skin covered. For example, you might want to try running warm water over the plastic wrap or warm wax. These can create new sensations that will cause the submissive to react, but they still will not be able to move away. Plastic wrap also works well as a makeshift gag or blindfold when you're pressed for materials. Mummification. The art of mummification was created to prepare the body for the afterlife in ancient Egypt, but that doesn't mean that it's gone out of style. Of course, when doing mummification in a BDSM setting, you're not going to remove anyone's organs, just their senses. Mummification can be done quite easily by using several different ingredients: plastic wrap, bondage tape, or pre-made mummification kits. With these tools, you will be able to completely wrap your submissive up from head to toe, keeping them completely immobile and able to listen only to you, be under your control completely. You might want to try using mummification as well as a post that is sturdy and able to support the slave during the process. Binding the slave to a post or even a backboard will allow their movement to be completely restricted and controlled. Mummification can start in any direction, but most find that starting with the feet and legs first allows the submissive to slowly get the sense of being closed off from the world. Moving up to their upper thighs, and then abdomen and torso, onto their chest and arms, and then around their neck as well as mouth and eyes, this completes the sensory deprivation and creates numerous possibilities for the dominant. For example, the genitals and breasts might remain uncovered during this process and subject to any sort of play by the dominant. Another idea is to keep the eyes free of obstructions to increase the response of the slave as they can see what is happening around them but cannot do anything to stop it. Mummification can also be much simpler. You can simply bind your slaves' hands and feet, but then roll them up in a blanket so they cannot move and are completely covered. This is a good way to introduce this sort of play before you invest in lots of tape. Safety precautions. Needless to say, bondage is a risky practice that involves a lot of potential situations in which problems can occur. But with some basic precautions, there is no reason for it to be harmful to the slave or to the dominant. Breathing is everything. While you want to restrict your slave and make them a little nervous about what is happening to them, you always need to be considerate of their ability to breathe. This means that nostrils should be able to access air when needed, and if the slave is having troubles with breathing through their nose, gag use needs to have special considerations. For example, using a ring gag that allows the mouth to remain open, or a simple cloth gag that will permit some air passage. What you will want to do is check with your submissive once a gag or other pieces are in place. If they are uncomfortable and something is not working for them, this gives you the chance to adjust the fit or another position in order to continue with the scene safely. If there is a position that might cause the slave to become suffocated, you need to be aware of this as well. Positions that involve the slave's face being turned away from you will require you to be vigilant about the slave's breathing pattern. Warning signs of breathing difficulties include increased movement, jerking movement, pointing to the mouth or nose, rapid inhalations, a blue tinge to the skin, lips, or fingernails, and an inability to make sounds. The truth is that it will be quite obvious when someone is having troubles breathing, but that still means that the dominant needs to keep monitoring the slave, and the slave that is having troubles needs to make some sort of signal that will alert their dominant to problems. Neck concerns. The neck is a very important part of the body and one that needs to be monitored as well during a scene. While it might seem like a good idea to restrain this part of the body, it can create permanent and even fatal damage quickly when you are not trained properly. When you're first starting out, binding the neck in any fashion is a bad idea. Even the loosest ties can cause pressure over the important voice box as well as trachea, even breaking it during certain moves. This causes the throat to immediately swell up and cut off oxygen, as well as the ability for the slave to breathe. If you're genuinely interested in doing some sort of bondage around the neck, you may want to invest in a hard collar that allows for little movement on the neck. This will need to be specifically fitted in order to be right for the slave, but the hard construction will make sure that it does not shrink and hurt the slave's neck, yet it will still give the right feeling that you are hoping to achieve. That said, neck play should be limited to gentle movements and tugs, never anything more than that. Dislocations, sprains, and breaks. There are 206 bones in the body, and all of them can be broken if you're not careful about what you're doing. Remember that each bone will break when enough pressure or weight is put upon it, so be sure to keep this in mind when planning your next scene. While some discomfort is okay, make sure that you're not doing anything that might cause permanent harm. This may mean that you limit suspensions until you are fully confident in your abilities, as well as limit any awkward bondage positions until you and your slave are assured that you both know what to expect. The main bones that are easy to break are fingers, wrists, ankles, toes, and feet. Because these bones are smaller, they cannot bear as much weight as the bigger bones in the body. Be sure to use caution when dealing with these areas. Safety during bondage and other forms of BDSM play generally comes down to common sense and good communication between slave and master or mistress. By thinking ahead, having escapes for the slave, for example, a good emergency pair of shears, handcuff keys readily available, and talking to each other, you shouldn't encounter too many problems along the way. Makeshift bondage accessories. If you're not ready to start spending the hundreds of dollars in bondage accessories that you might want to, there are plenty of ways to create a bondage scene with things around the house or at your local stores without raising the suspicion of anyone in line. Here are some things that you can use tonight that you probably already have lying around. Ties. great for binding hands and ankles, as well as using as gags and blindfolds. Stocking caps or winter ski hats, great for a simple hood, for a slave, or for use as a blindfold. Extension cords, they work well for basic bondage ties. Mittens or gloves, these are a good thing to use when you want to limit the movement of fingers. Duct tape. While this is a really sticky way to go, this kind of tape is quite effective for bondage. However, you might want to start with plastic wrap in order to protect the skin from the removal of this tape. Medical tape and gauze. By placing small pads of gauze on the eyes and then attaching with medical tape, you can create highly effective blindfolding. A clean pen or other similarly shaped instrument. Placed between the teeth, this works well as a gag too. Simply tell the slave to make sure that he or she does not drop it. A broomstick. Tying a slave's hands to the end of a broomstick creates an effective rack of sorts that will hinder their ability to move. Try it on the ankles as well. Really, if you look around your home with BDSM in mind, there are plenty of ways to turn that ordinary item into a devious part of your dominance and submission play. And a slave assignment for the end of this chapter. Your job after this section is to find out more about the kinds of bondage that you think you would like to have used on you. Make a list in your slave journal of the fantasies that you have, as well as the things that do not make you comfortable at all. But in another list, write down the things that both terrify you and cause you to get aroused. This will be your list of challenges in bondage and things that you will want to slowly dip your feet into or let your master or mistress know about so they can train you properly on how to overcome these fears. Bondage is a great way to build trust, communication, and an overall good time. But remember that safety goes a long way towards making it enjoyable every time. This is the end of Chapter 7.